Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Come on. I was waiting to see if anybody ran out. We are a Pentecostal church. And I'm doing a series on the Holy Spirit right now. I'm starting today. And everybody's going, oh, Lord, we in for it today. But I'm doing a series on the Holy Spirit. And it's just simply called this. Help, I'm Pentecostal. Because sometimes we don't understand our own Pentecostalness, right? We need to understand what being Pentecostal is. Pentecostal is more than just speaking in tongues. It is more than just falling down on the ground and flopping around like a fish. It is more than swinging from the chandeliers. We don't even have chandeliers in here. I'm working on it, y'all. We got that in the budget for next year. But we don't have chandeliers. We don't have any of that. Listen, I'm going to give you a quick crash course about Pentecostal. It'll take me about 2 minutes. All right? Some misconceptions about Pentecostals and about the Pentecostal theology. One of the misconceptions is that we're all loud and obnoxious. Right? Have y'all ever ran into that where people think that all Pentecostals are just loud and obnoxious? No, that's just me. Okay? I can be loud, I can be obnoxious, but the thing is, you don't have to be loud and obnoxious to be Pentecostal. Then again, I know a lot of people that are loud and obnoxious that ain't Pentecostal. If you don't believe me, go to a baseball game. Go to a football game. You got plenty of them. But listen, we're not all loud and obnoxious. If that's the case, then you could basically call every diehard sports fan a Pentecostal. Look at some of the craziness that you see at sporting events. Look at the NFL draft this past week. Better not. You might as well not look at that because that was not fun to watch. But we're not all loud and obnoxious. And also, another misconception is that we expect a supernatural answer to every problem. Now, some Pentecostals are that way. They think that there is something supernatural about everything that happens. It doesn't matter what happens. You stub your toe, the devil's after you. You ever met somebody like that? They believe there's a demon behind every door. Every situation that comes our way is not going to have a Holy Spirit answer. When you get up in the morning, you don't ask the Holy Spirit, am I supposed to breathe today? No, that's something that naturally happens. You don't sit there and ask the Holy Spirit, am I supposed to be nice to this person today? No, the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself, so that answers itself. Come on, are you with me? My bout with my kidney stone last week, I know I joked and called it demonic, and I'm still on the fence on that, but it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit needed to intervene in that situation because it was a spiritual battle. It was not a spiritual battle. It was a physical battle. It was a battle that I don't ever want to have again. Are you with me? I've had four of them. That's enough. My wife has had more than that. I know many of you have told me about your situation with that, but it's not because of a demon. It's not because of the devil. It's not because of anything that on the spiritual realm that I had that. You know the reason why I had that kidney stone? I drank too much milk, or I ate too many foods at this certain time, and they coalesced together and created this stone that was of the devil. Okay. I know I'm contradicting myself, but y'all ain't with me. Listen, there is not a demon behind every door or a minion behind every mishap. Just because you got in a car wreck doesn't mean that the devil was trying to kill you. It means that somebody wasn't paying attention to who was in front of them. And then there's another misconception, that we all do crazy and stupid stuff. Now, let me preface this. We all do stupid stuff. But sometimes we cover it up with well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. No, the Holy Spirit didn't tell you to follow a cloud in order to minister to somebody. Listen, this one might be more true than I like to admit, but I'm talking about some crazy beliefs. Stopping taking your medicine without talking to the doctor. Somebody laughed. I don't know where that came from, but that struck a chord with somebody. Stop and taking your medicine. Listen, I believe that God wants to heal you supernaturally. I believe that in that healing. But I also believe God gave us a brain for a reason. He has doctors for a reason. He gave them knowledge for a reason. And we're supposed to use those. Now, if God tells you to stop your medicine, that's fine. You go talk with your doctor, let him know what's going on. Because God gave you brains to use. Are you with me? But stopping your medicine without telling your doctor or maybe testing God, saying, God, if you will do this, then I will serve you the rest of my life. Or this or that or the other. And you start testing God in situations. It's saying, God, I know you're real, so I'm going to go stand in the middle of the road out here on Greenbrier Deer Road. And Lord, I want you to prove that you're God by making it where I don't get hit by any cars. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's something wrong in your wiring up here, okay? You need to be thinking about that. And we can always talk about those that handle snakes. We only do that every other week, so those of you here today... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We used to joke with Amy's at Amy's church and her home church in Dothan. We would joke, and the pastor's daughter would do this, okay? I may just got myself in trouble. But the pastor's daughter would wait till she would bring teenage friends into church. And people would ask, what's that big box behind the pulpit that everybody stands around and all that kind of stuff? And she would tell them all, oh, that's where we keep the snakes. They wouldn't come back for a while. But we would joke about that and that kind of things. But... That's taking a scripture out of context, and I'm not going to get into that today. The main difference between us as a Pentecostal belief and a Pentecostal faith and other Christian beliefs is our stance on the Holy Spirit. We believe the Holy Spirit, come on if you're with me, we believe the Holy Spirit is still active today. We believe that the Holy Spirit is still active in every aspect that we live in today as He was in biblical times. We believe the Holy Spirit is alive and well and moving in our lives. From healings to casting out demons to even speaking in other tongues, where we first hear about that in Acts chapter 2. We believe that is active and moving and possible today. And that is a promise that God gave us back in Joel. That His Spirit will be poured out on all men and all women. On the young and the old. Come on, are you with me? Acts chapter 2, though, listen, Acts chapter 2 is not the first time. See, we as Pentecostals, we go to Acts chapter 2 and we say, okay, this is where we talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit because it's Acts chapter 2, that's when the powers fell, people spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 2 is not the first time that the Holy Spirit is mentioned and imparted to God's people. Luke chapter 9 talks about how Jesus gave them authority over every demon and over every sickness. He was imparting the Holy Spirit to them at that moment. He gave them His authority. Mark chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 10, He gave them authority over unclean spirits. Even on Easter Sunday, the day Jesus resurrected, the day we just celebrated last week. Come on. Are you still celebrating? Come on, because Easter is not a day, but it's a lifestyle. He rose from the dead not just for one day so that we could celebrate and then eat chocolate eggs. He rose so that we could live victoriously. He rose so that we could be free. He rose so that we could do great things for Him. He rose so that the Holy Spirit could come and minister to us. Even on Easter Sunday, the Holy Spirit makes an appearance in the writings of John. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 20. The Holy Spirit makes an appearance in John chapter 20. And this is where we're going to concentrate on today. Verses 19 through 23 says this right here. On the evening of that day, what is that day? That day is Easter. This is immediately after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. They're all shut up. It's going to tell you here in a minute. They're shut up in a room. Even on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad. I love that. They didn't get happy until they saw his scars. Come on, y'all. I would have been happy just him showing up in the room. But anyway, then they were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, verse 21, Jesus said to them, again, peace be with you. He said it twice. There has to be a reason for that. Verse 20, the end of that verse says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Can we just thank God for the Holy Spirit right now? God, we invite you into this place. Verse 23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. Let my words be few, your words be powerful, and speak to us today about receiving your presence. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Today's focus is one word. It's one word. It's easy to remember. It's receive. Everybody say receive. Receive. It isn't a big word, but it's a powerful word. People try to offer us and give us stuff all the time. We get phone calls all the time. I so hate spam phone calls. Hi, I'm calling to talk to you about your car warranty. I get texts all the time about my insurance for my house, trying to get me to buy more insurance for my house. Leave me alone. I have insurance on my house. I have stuff taken care of in my house. Leave me alone. I'm good. I have people offer me stuff all the time. There's certain things that I want, certain things I don't. People try to offer us and give us stuff all the time. They offer us advice. Anybody ever given you advice, even when you didn't ask for it? They offer you advice. They offer help. They offer opinions. They offer money. If they offer you money, take it. But they offer you money. They offer jobs. They offer gifts. We have to receive those things in order for us to possess them, though. I can stand here all day. I don't have a wallet on me. I was going to pull out some money and offer it to one of these boys, but then I thought better. But I could pull out a $20 bill and I could hold it out to Tristan here and say, okay, Tristan, this is your $20 bill. And he could sit there and say thank you all day long. But until he gets up, takes it out of my hand and puts it in his pocket, it does not belong to him. That's the same way with the Holy Spirit. It's the same way with God. Your forgiveness, Jesus holds your forgiveness out to you and says, here is your forgiveness through my blood and through what I've given to you, through the sacrifice that I've given. This is for you. We can sit there and say thank you all day long and sit in our pews and go through our rituals and go through our emotions, but until we get up and actually apply it to our life and possess it into our hearts, then it doesn't matter. Are you with me? We have to receive something in order to possess it, in order for it to belong to us. We have to receive those things in order to possess them and make them a part of our lives. Now, there are some things we don't want, like criticism. Anybody ever criticize you, especially without you asking? Don't be looking at your wives, guys. There was a worship pastor at one point. I've told this story before. There was a worship pastor that was part of a thriving ministry. It was doing great, and it was an evangelist that would travel around, and he would preach, and he would see hundreds of people get saved everywhere that he went. And somebody came up to the worship pastor that traveled with him, and they did not like the way that he did worship. They didn't like his songs. They didn't like his style. They didn't like his instruments. And they walked up to him and said, you know what? Let's just call him John. They said, you know what, Brother John? I don't like the way you do worship. I don't like the way that you play these songs, and I don't like these new songs that you're doing. I don't like the way that you're doing all of these things, and I wish you would do something else. Brother John looked at him and said, you know what? I don't really like the way I do it either. I don't really like the way that I do it either. And he looked him dead in the face and he said, tell me, how do you lead people in worship? The guy stood there for a few seconds and he went, well, I don't. And this worship pastor looked down and said, well, if that's the case, I like my way a whole lot better than your way. Sometimes we don't need to accept criticism from people. Jeremy DeWert, who was leader of a master's commission for years and a youth pastor for years, he always told us, he did workshops with us, and he told us, I never accept criticism from someone who's not in the trenches with me. Church, if there's somebody that is criticizing the way that you serve God, the way that you live for God, the way that you walk with God, unless they're in the trenches with you and digging out the dirt that you're digging out, don't accept that criticism. Unless they're dealing with their own dirt, if they're too busy pointing out the ways that everybody else is messing up and not dealing with their own situations, that plank in their own eye, don't accept that criticism. Are you with me? That's a sidebar. We'll get into that some other time. We could focus in this verse, we could focus on the end in verse 23 and just talk about receive the Holy Spirit. I could talk about that all day long. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do in our lives. But if we did that, we would miss the entire point of this entire passage. We're going to get to talking about the Holy Spirit. If you're with me, say I am. But I want you to understand it's more than just about that. It's more about a walk in His presence. We could focus on all that, but we would miss the mark. We have to take a look at it as a whole. In order to do that, we have to go back to verse 19 and talk about what it says about receiving God's presence. Verse 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Let me give you a recap. It's Easter Sunday in the evening. Jesus has already risen from the dead. There have been four visitations of Jesus with people so far in the Gospels that have been recorded. Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20. There was other women in Matthew 28. The road to Emmaus, he met with two men. One of them's name was Cleopas. He met with two men in Mark chapter 16. And then he also met with Peter in Luke 24. All those times. And then this is the fifth one. And the thing is, where do we find the disciples here on Easter Sunday night? We find them locked in a room, wringing their hands, wondering what's going to happen. Oh, Jesus has been dead. And I know that people have said that he's risen, but what are we going to do? The leaders are going to come after us next. They've already been searching for us. What are they going to do? Are we going to die? Are they going to kill us too? And they're sitting there wringing their hands, wondering what's going to happen. Perhaps some of these people have already had an encounter with Jesus in one of those other stories. We don't know, but they were all still worried. The door was locked. Everybody say it was locked. It was locked because they had turned into a self-preservation mode. They were more worried about their physical being than they were about the mission that they were given when Jesus was on this earth. The first thing I notice is that they're not where Jesus wanted them to be. They were not meant to be hidden in the world, but to be among the people carrying out the mission that God had for them. Are you with me today? Punch the person next to you and say, wake up. They weren't where they were supposed to be. God did not call them to lock themselves. Again, they locked the world out. See, I think that's the problem with a lot of churches nowadays, is we've locked the church out, maybe not with locks and doorknobs or anything like that, but we've locked the church out because if you're not wearing what we're wearing, then don't come in here. If you don't worship the way we worship, then you need to stay out there. If you don't talk the way we talk, then you stay out here. Listen, you can't expect the world to come in if they are unsaved, if they've been living in sin, if they've been living against God. You can't expect them to walk in and act like church folk. That's right. Amen. We can't expect them to do that. We're supposed to go out with them. Live with them. Teach them by example and be with. How can they watch us if we separate ourselves? Yes, God has called us out of darkness into his light, but we are supposed to reach into the darkness and pull every single one of them with us that we can. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. Y'all getting me fired up now. Listen. They were not meant to be hidden away from the world. They did not understand that. Did they not understand the teaching in Matthew 9 where it says the harvest is plenty, but pray for laborers? We as a church are meant to go. Well, isn't it natural for them to do that, Pastor Aaron? I mean, they were scared for their lives. What's more important, the temporary life that we live on this earth or the eternal life that we can one day have with him? If we allow it, church, listen to me. If we allow it, fear will lock us in a cage telling us it is for our own protection. That's what they were doing. They locked themselves in that room for their own protection. But in doing so, they were negating the mission of God in their life. They were postponing what he wanted to do through them. Jesus did not die. Listen to me. Jesus did not die and rise on the third day so that we can lock ourselves inside of our churches or inside of our programs or inside of our traditions out of fear of the unknown. People, many people inside this room, you have served God for many years. You've served God for years. Others are discovering your faith in Christ for the first time. Others are still rediscovering their faith because they have rededicated your life to Jesus over the past few weeks or few months or so. Today, we have four people that are going to be baptized this afternoon. That come on, give God praise. And I'm going to tell you, some of them have been baptized before, but they said, you know what? I didn't understand it. I didn't live it. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And I feel like I need to put myself back in that place where I am dead in Christ and I raise again in him. So they're doing it again. There are others that have never been baptized before. They are discovering their faith for the first time. And they said, I've been waiting and I've been waiting for the right time and the right place and the right person and all this. And I feel like today is the day. I feel like this is the time. We've got four people that are going to be doing that today. And I've already got some others that have said, we want to do it next time. Come on. If you want to do it, come on. We're going to do it again in a couple of months. We're going to do another one. You need to come to our baptism class. And then after that, just so that I'll make sure you understand what you're doing and how the process is going to happen. And then we'll go through it again. Because I believe God wants us to do that. Amen? Amen. The worst thing that we can do is let fear dictate our relationship and our lives, though. What if people don't accept the new me? I don't have the education, I don't have the knowledge to do anything for Jesus. I can't teach kids. I can't minister to somebody. I can't go out and tell somebody about Jesus. I don't even know all the Bible myself. Can I let you in on a little secret? I don't know it all yet either. And I've been serving God for a long time. I've been serving God since I was 16 years old. I got saved when I was 16. God radically changed my life. And have I stumbled before? Yes. Have I messed up before? Yes. Have I preached some things that aren't exactly true? You know what? I went back and I looked, and there's some things I've had to go back on, and I say, you know what? God changed my mind on this thing because I looked at it through man's eyes and not through God's eyes. I have messed up before. And there's still things that God reveals to me every single day. But you don't have to know every single detail of the Bible before you tell somebody, hey, Jesus loves you. You don't have to understand how grace and mercy work other than the fact that he had grace on you and he had mercy on you. You don't have to understand how the blood changes your life. You don't have to understand what tongues is in order to just tell somebody that Jesus wants to have a relationship with them. All you have to do is be a willing vessel. If you're with me, say, I am. What if I fail? Then you'll be in good company because everybody... Now, look at the person to your right. Now, look at the person to the left. I would say look at the front and the back, but some of you may hurt your neck. Those people on either side of you, on the front and the back of you, they have failed at some time in their life. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Including the person standing right here. I've messed up probably more than anybody in this room. But God, in His mercy and in His grace, looked at me and said, even though my blood covers you, and I still love you, and there's still a job for you to do. Fear does nothing but slow your progress and postpone your purpose. Jesus was still there in the midst of their fear. Now see, I'm getting to my actual point now. I love the end of verse 19. It says, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. The wording of this is so important. It says they stood among them. The original language in the original Greek actually implies and indicates it's more than he just popped up like a Harry Potter character. Okay? It's not that he just all of a sudden and apparated right there. What happened is it actually indicates that it meant that he was lingering there, moving among them the entire time. But they did not notice him. Church, how many times have we been locked away and God comes in and we don't notice He's there? We need to receive His presence. See, they finally understood. See, while they felt alone, He was still there. When they locked the door, He was still there. When they complained about how crowded it was, they were still there. He was still there. When they cried because they thought they heard footsteps of soldiers, He was still there. We need to know that even when fear seems to be in control, Jesus' presence is already in the room with us, just waiting for us to recognize and to receive His presence into our lives. Some of you right now, God's presence is in your row right now. He's in this room already. But right now, He's walking down your row, and you feel that presence passing by. And it reminds me of that song, Reach Out and Touch the Lord as He Goes By. You'll find He's not too weary to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your needs He'll supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and accept His presence into your life and into this place today. Accept Him moving in your life and challenging you to go beyond your fear. Where the world brings fear, see, that's where we have to receive His peace that He brings into the room with Him. His presence and His peace. John 20:19-20 says, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. When Jesus arrives on the scene, He brings with Him peace that your heart needs and that our heart needs in our times of distress and struggle. I don't know, is anybody in this room, you've been struggling this week? You've been struggling here lately? If you ain't struggling, you need to come pray for me, because I have been struggling. But it's in those times of distress, those times of the problem. See, when Jesus arrives on the scene with these disciples, He brings with Him peace that we need. His suffering and His sacrifice and the peace that He purchased with the blood that was forever unlocked the cage of fear that will tell us that it's there to protect us. Fear tells us it's there to protect us, but the blood is what unlocks us and frees us. In reality, that fear is meant to keep us under control and away from the calling of God in our lives. We must accept and receive the peace of His presence to be set free. Are you with me? Man, y'all, again, we're a Pentecostal church. I need y'all to talk with me a little bit today. I had somebody ask one time, hey, why is it so quiet in our church? I thought we were a Pentecostal church. I said, that's a good point. I'm thinking, or I heard this question, and somebody told me that they heard this question. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Why don't, instead of questioning why it's so quiet, why don't you be the one that says stuff louder? be a part of what's going on. Are you with me? Listen. It's a reconciling peace that Jesus brings into the room. It's so important that Jesus said it twice. Verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am also sending you." He said, "Peace be with you," twice because he knew that they needed to understand that fear had no control over them. They needed peace in their heart to know that they are called to do something greater. Because see, you got to think, the last time Jesus spoke to them, the last time Jesus saw these disciples, what were they doing? They ran away from him when he was arrested. Think about that for a minute. He could have come into that room, poof, and all of a sudden he's there. "Y'all listen here. They came and took me away, and all of y'all did was ran. Y'all ran away from me, and y'all denied me. Peter, you're over there. You denied me three times. I knew you were going to do it. I told you he was going to." He had the right to chastise them, to correct them, to get on to them. But what did he do? He walked in, and instead of coming in and reprimanding every single one of them, he brought in a reconciling peace that said, "You know what? It's okay, guys. I still love you. I understand. Things have happened this way for a reason." He brings a reconciling peace where he reconciles those relationships. Today, he brings a reconciling peace into this place saying, "Listen, I don't know what your past," or he says, "I know what your past is. I know your situations. I know your problems. I know the times that you've denied me. I know the times you've gone back to your old habits. I know the times where the enemy has gotten into your mind and tried to tell you you're not worth anything and that you're not going to go anywhere and you're not going to do anything for me. But understand this, I bring you peace that tells you better. I bring you peace that helps you understand better." His peace comes with a tag along, though. He was telling them, this fear that you have, that has you locked away, is keeping you from what I'm calling you to do. Again, that verse 21, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." His peace comes with that tag along of, you have a job to do. Turn to somebody next to you and say, "You got a job." Turn to the person on the other, your second choice, and say, "Are you doing your job?" If we go back and look at Scripture, we're told why Jesus was sent to this world. Luke chapter 9 or chapter 4 says this: "The Spirit," this is Jesus quoting Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed." In other words, to set people free. That was Jesus's job. But then, and you don't have to go back there, guys, so don't go back. But in that verse that we just read in verse 21 of John, "As the Father has sent me," the Father sent him to do all of those things. I am sending you. You know what he just did? He took the job that God gave him and he's placed it in our hands and said, "Bam, your turn. It's your turn to go and minister. It's your turn to be anointed. It is your turn to spread the good news to the poor. It is your turn to proclaim liberty to the captives. It is your turn to show recovering sight to the blind. It is your turn to bring freedom to people who are oppressed and in bondage." Luke 19:10 says this: "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." If God sent him to do that, when he says, "As the Father sent me, I am now sending you," that job then falls to us. Are you with me? Are you with me, church? This was his purpose and his mission while he was here on earth, but notice that he says to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." With that peace that Jesus brings, he also brings purpose. A mission, the mission that is meant for each one of us today. We have the same mission that his Father sent him to do. He is sending us to a lost and dying world that doesn't even know they need a Savior. You go to many people nowadays and ask them this, and "Do you know Jesus?" And they say, "I don't need Jesus." My job takes care of me. My family takes care of me. I'm okay. I know who I am. I'm a God in myself. No, that's exactly what they say now. That's exactly what they believe. But God sent us to talk to them and sent us to minister to them. We have that same mission that the Father sent him to do. In schools, in stores, in children's classrooms, at cookouts in the neighborhood. Can I brag on a couple of people real quick? I want to brag on two people in particular that are in our church. And I did not ask permission for this because I knew they'd say no. Miss Sunshine is not here, but I want to brag on her for a minute. Miss Sunshine is years old, because I will not tell a woman's age. I'm no better than that. I'm smarter than that. But you understand that Miss Sunshine is still carrying out her purpose every single day. She sows. As a matter of fact, this coming Thursday, she came to me. She said, "You know what? There are so many ladies in our church that want to learn to sow, and they want to learn to do. I want to minister. I want to do something for God. So I want to do something for God. So one thing that I can do is I can sow." So what she's doing is she is starting a sowing circle with Sunshine here at the church. We don't know how often it's going to go on right now. We're going to test the waters this coming Thursday. This Thursday at 10:30, they're going to meet in this room right back here. And she's going to start teaching people how to sow. And they're going to have projects, and they're going to do projects. She has been working her fingers to the bone, literally, to prepare gifts for Mother's Day that we're going to be giving away here at the church. She has been preparing other things that we are giving away to schools and to teachers at schools with little goodie baskets that she has sewn together that will just fit a few pieces of candy and some little things that she's going to give away to them. She is still working her purpose. It doesn't matter how old you are. I'm going to brag on her because she is still working her purpose. I'm going to brag on somebody else that I'll probably hear about it later. But Brother Charles, I called on, he's like, "What did I do now?" Brother Charles, for those of you that don't know, Brother Charles is one of our deacons and one of our board members. And he has jumped in with both feet, has done a fabulous job for the past year and a half almost, and is doing a great job. But I had to call on him a couple of times, especially this week and last week and this week. And I asked him, "Listen, I'm not going to be able to teach because I'm on the youth on such and such nights. Would you be able to do that?" He has told me plenty of times, "I am not a teacher. I don't teach. I don't know how to teach. All I know how to do is get in there and talk." I said, "Fine, go in there and talk." And he did a phenomenal job last week, didn't he, guys? Okay, y'all wasn't there? I'm going to smack y'all. But he did a good job, didn't he, Anthony? Or Andrew. I don't know why I call you Anthony. Andrew. He did a great job and did a great job with them. He's going to be doing it again this coming week because the speaker that I had for when I was going to be gone this coming Wednesday fell through. And he has jumped in and he said, "It may not be my calling. It may not be I may not be the best at it, but I'm willing to do something for God. I'm willing to find my purpose. I'm willing to walk in what God has called me to do." Church, that's what we're supposed to do. Even if we mess things up, God looks at it and says, "That's okay. Try it again." I've so got to hurry. He is sending us as salt and light into the world that needs preserving and guidance. Go ahead, come. Receiving that peace into our lives is what opens us up to His purpose. When we allow the Holy Spirit, when we allow Jesus, when we allow His peace to come into our lives, it's not for our purpose or for our plans for our lives. We tend to mess things up. I can sit there with the best intentions and try to come up with all kinds of stuff that we need to do as a church. We need to minister to the homeless. We need to minister to this. We need to minister to that. We need classes for this. We need to feed these people. We need to touch these people. We need to start a food bank. We need to start a clothing bank. We need to go out and minister to the schools. And I could sit here and I could come up with all kinds of ministries that we need to do. But if I don't have the peace of God and the guidance of God and the power of God moving in my life and the presence of God moving in my life, then all of my plans are going to fail. That's why I need to look at God and say, God, is your presence in this? Is your presence in this situation? I need to look at God and say, okay, God, is your peace on this situation? I love what my old pastor used to say, Randy Reed. I love what he said about the peace of God. If you're wondering about whether you should teach or whether you should minister or whether you should do something in the church or whether you should go up and talk to somebody in public about Jesus, if you're wondering about something that you need to do, then what you need to understand is this. The peace of God is the voice of God. Oh, y'all missed a great opportunity right there. That makes more sense to me now than it ever has. And peace of God does not mean that that you don't think anything's going to go wrong. It just means that you trust God with it. When you have a peace of God, it doesn't matter what obstacles come your way. You're going, I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know what's going to happen. But God will take care of it. It may, the situation that you're in, whatever your situation is, the peace of God lets you go, this too shall pass. Now, as the old saying goes, it may pass like a kidney stone, but it will pass. As long as you have His peace, and His presence, and lastly, His power. Receive His power. Y'all were sitting there wondering where the Holy Spirit was going to come in. This is where it is. Verse 22 and 23. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." There's a hot debate on breathing. You know, we've all seen the YouTubes, we've seen the memes, we've seen all of that where you've got pastors and preachers and teachers and evangelists that come up to you and they'll walk up to people in their face, they'll go, and people fall over or do whatever. I am not here to debate whether that's of God or not. All I know is that if you're going to do that to me, you better have taken one of these mints right here and put it in your mouth before you blew into my face. Are you with me? Listen. I'm not going to condemn or praise any of them. It's not my place. If that is all you see in the scripture is Him breathing on them and saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit," if all you see is Him breathing and seeing a delivery method, then you're missing the point of this entire scripture. You're looking at the wrong thing. The problem with a lot of people today in churches is that they pay too little attention to the power that is being passed to the followers and too much attention to how it's passed. We're so worried about the packaging that we forget about the power, that the power is a real gift that we have to receive. It isn't the delivery method that is sacred, but is the content. If God moves on your life in such a way where you speak in tongues, speak in tongues. If God moves in your way in such a way, in your life in such a way where you are slain in the spirit, where you fall over because you fall under the power of God, then you fall over. If you want to jump and shout and scream, then you jump and shout and scream. The delivery method doesn't matter. It's the power that is transferred from the power of God into us that matters. Because with that power is where we walk in His purpose. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do the work of the ministry.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.